sovereignty. Faithfulness believes God's sovereignty. The world, politics, people out in the world battle. They fight against the sovereignty of God. I think when man fell, there were areas of the sovereignty of God that God didn't really ever want us to know. God wanted us to be in his presence, to be blessed by his presence, to enjoy his presence, and to live and move and have our being in his presence. Unfortunately, when man fell into sin, we started to have to learn things of God that were supposed to have been learnt through just a relationship, walking in the presence of God, developing, growing, maturing, which of course Adam and Eve were supposed to have done. And so we have to learn with the sovereignty of God that the sovereignty of God consists of the fact that man has to be reconciled back to God, that sin has separated us from God, from his love, from his spirit, and so forth. And so in that, which we call teaching theology, there are things that we have to learn. We have to learn that in the sovereignty of God, that God does have anger. And that side of God, God didn't want man to know in bringing up children. Ideally, although we have to live in a real world, but we don't really want our children to know that there are things that they do can cause parents to be angry. There are things that they have to learn. There are boundaries that they have to learn. They have to be warned about things in life and so forth. These are things that sometimes we don't always, as parents, like to do, but we have to do it. It is part of their growing up. It is part of their survival, if you like, in that sense. So how much more of that when we take that over to Almighty God? Hence he gives us his word, the revelation of his word, these 66 books which we have. And of course within the word of God, we see the sovereignty of God revealed there. His sovereignty is revealed by the fact that when God decrees something, it will happen. It will come to pass, whether it be outwardly appearing for good or for bad, even though we know that even if it looks bad, and judgment is not a good thing at all. It's fearful to fall into the hands of an angry God, because of what an angry God, a just and holy God, has to do according to his righteous standard. God has to work to that standard, that perfect standard. And of course that perfect standard could only be met in Jesus Christ, who stood in our behalf. So there's that perfect standard of the law. And of course he fulfilled the law, Christ did, every jot and tittle of the law. So we now, in Christ, stand in him, not in ourselves, with that law, the demands of the law, having been met through Christ. We now stand complete, and he looks at us with that law fulfilled, perfect, not having been broken. That is how we see. That's how he sees us, in Christ. All of these things I'm just bringing out now are all dealing with the sovereignty of God. God didn't want us to know these things. But of course we know that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And God knows all things. There is no time in God's realm and everything. So of course the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is an indication of covering. And it means that we need to be covered. We need to be sheltered. We need to have sin appeased, covered, because of God's wrath. So that's finally done away with now, once and for all, through Jesus. And that is why we look to the cross. We look to the death of Christ, because that is a finished work. It's done. It's finished. So the sovereignty of God that demanded that righteous standard has been lifted from us. And none of us, indeed, can fulfil that righteous standard. It's impossible. Impossible. Don't even attempt it. This is why it's such a sad thing when Christians who are redeemed by grace, mercy, want to bring themselves back under aspects of the law. And they do it in the most subtle way. Oh, well, we must sanctify the Sunday, the day of rest. So, of course, Seventh-day Adventists believe that the day of rest, Sunday as we call it, the day of the Lord, that should be set apart, and we have to hallow that day. Well, if you're going to do that, then you better do exactly what the law requires. Because they were not to work. They were not to lift anything. Everything was prepared the day before. And even food was prepared, everything, and you simply didn't do a thing in that sense. Of course, you could pick up a cup of water to drink, but the idea was you were not to work, you were not to labour, to toil, to sweat. So you see, this is what Christians do, sadly, when they bring themselves back under the law of which has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. They like to have these aspects of the law. There are still Christians who still want to practice circumcision. They like the idea of it because that shows you're separated, sanctified unto God. But of course we need to read Galatians. Well, what Paul says about these things, he says, well, look, if my people couldn't even fulfill and keep the law, well, how much more Gentiles? The whole thing is ridiculous. It becomes futile. But that, of course, is what religious demons do, you see. And so they bring themselves under the curse. Any Christian that binds themselves under the law that has been fulfilled now through Christ, as the Word of God says, Galatians says, they bring themselves under its curse. And sadly, we have a lot of professing believers who are actually under a curse. This is why they don't break free. This is why they don't develop, mature, and grow in the faith. They are bound. They are stunted, you see. So we have to be on our guard with these things. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we're free now, by the grace of God, to go and do exactly what we want and sin and so forth. It doesn't mean that. If we are saved and redeemed by Christ, then how much more do we not do those things in that sense? But, of course, the blood of the Lamb is there of which to deal with our sin, with our weaknesses, and so on. So we know the story. We know what God is saying. But faithfulness believes God's sovereignty. And we're called to be faithful through whatever our circumstances, whatever we go through. And our faithfulness needs to understand and know the sovereignty of God. Faithfulness needs that if we're to stay with it to the end. That's the whole point. And so God's ever teaching us these things, isn't he? Now, one who is faithful believes that God is completely sovereign and controls their circumstances. So, if I'm to remain faithful, then I believe that my circumstances, everything I go through, everything that happens, is a sovereign work of God and does not take God by surprise. That is why we hold so strongly to Romans 8:28, which we know so very well. You probably got it marked. And we know, see, I love that word. He says, and we know. It means Paul is saying here to the Romans, you know what I'm talking about. You know by your circumstances, you know by what you're going through. And that's, we know, don't we, by what we go through. One of the best ways of knowing something experientially is to go through it, you see. And you cannot, and I go back to what I said at the beginning, you cannot protect your children from going through things which they have to learn to know. It's absolutely vital. And it's a very difficult one. And sometimes parents have to stand back and have to let it happen because they need to know. So it's this idea of that we know. So we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So this is something that many, many Christians, many, many sermons have been taught on, that particular verse. So he says, you know this, and if you don't know it, you're going to know it. And then, and I'm going to, the sovereignty of God will teach you it. Because you need to know that all things work together for good if, it's always with an if you love God. And if you love God, you're going to know these things. And if you love God, as you say you do, then faithfulness will be in your life, whatever the circumstances. So we find that it sort of does a cycle, doesn't it? A circle. You know, it sort of comes back to the basics. So one who is faithful believes that God is completely sovereign and controls circumstances as well as my circumstances. However, we often take this for granted, but not really believing he still holds things together. You see, God controls all things, but he often controls these things through people. And that is our problem. We can believe the sovereignty of God. Yes, God's sovereign over my life. Yes, God's sovereign over the nation, over the governments, everything, which of course he is. But when it comes personally to me that God is sovereign and that he wants me to be faithful, he's sovereign over people. He controls all people in that sense. Now, he permits many things. God is in control, and people do and can do the most horrendous things. An awful thing, of course, is murder, of which to take a life. And, of course, there's an inner principle to that, that Jesus said that if you are angry with your brother or sister, that is good as committing murder in God's eyes. Now, that is people. That is people. And we have to still learn that whatever's happening, whatever is going on, God is in control and he's faithful, and therefore I'm faithful. I've had to hold on to that one over this last year, over this litigation and everything, and all of you know what went on, and you're betrayed by your family and all these sort of things. It's a hard one, and you don't get it immediately, and therefore when a brother or sister is going through that trial or is about to go through a trial, and our trials are tailor-made, I had to go through that because it was tailor-made for me. You may not have to go through something like that, and I thank God that you don't. But all our trials are different. That's the point. But I had to go through that in order to learn some things. And God permitted that to happen. Now, he's not the instigator of it. God is not the instigator of someone murdering someone. And of course, we know the first murderer in the Bible, Cain and Abel. But he will permit. He will allow Satan certain amount of access. We know this by the story of Job. And he does exactly the same in your life and my life. He will allow Satan certain access at times because God is teaching us his sovereignty in order for us to remain faithful. So there are things that are difficult, hard at first to swallow, but he's teaching us his sovereignty. And of course, when I went through my trial and when this litigation thing came up and happened, you know, it was like my whole world had just collapsed, caved in, everything, you know. And we need to be very sensitive to one another when that sort of thing happens. Because it's not a problem so much for us. And it's very easy for us to say, well, why on earth are they so upset? Well, why on earth can't they see what the problem is? Well, they can't. That's the whole thing. Because they're going through it. And therefore, we need to be very loving and very sensitive. And above all, in a prayerful attitude, supporting that brother, that sister, who at that point is going through something that God is about to teach them in a later time. As the same he does with us, you see. And so, this is how God works. And what he's teaching us in those trials, this really, really hurts. It's bringing everything out, the worst in me, you know, everything. But I know in my heart that all things work together for good. And God is doing this because he is sovereign. I can't see it at the moment, but I know because I have the word of God there, and I know because he's working in me to be faithful, to endure to the end. You see, faithfulness, endurance has to be worked in us. It is not something that we have obtained the moment we got saved. I wish we had. But we don't. It's part of our development, our growth. We learn faithfulness. We learn to endure. And it's not something that we immediately obtain in salvation. We have to develop and grow into that. Now, we have a lot and have had a lot of teaching over the years about being faithful or faithfulness. Now, I wonder why. I think, I'm not saying this as thus saith the Lord, but I think it's because of the days we live in and the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the days of the great falling away from the truth. And we all know that's not rocket science. We know it, we see it, we hear it. It's all around us. So because we are in these conditions of the great apostasy, the falling away, God is working now in specific ways. Because unless we are faithful, God will not have a remnant in these last days. That remnant will fall away. Make no two bones about it. You and I, if he doesn't work this in us, we will not endure to the end. Because we've all come to a very near point, well, I've had enough of this. I'm walking away. I did. I'm your pastor. But through the trial that I went through, I was that close to jacking it in. Because it ain't worth it. But something within me said also no. There was that thread holding me. And I thank God for that. Because that's what this is all about. He was working his sovereignty in me, his faithfulness. He was teaching me something. And I could hold on, whatever was happening, I could hold on to like verses like this. Don't understand this, but I know that this is working together for good. And the wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel, and this is the grace, that whatever wickedness, whatever sin, no matter what man has done, God has a way of changing the negative into the positive. Only God can do that through Jesus Christ. That's why this is such a good news, such a good gospel, such a hope for all of us. Because we've all desperately fallen short of the glory of God. I can't be the only one. We have. So it gives us hope, you see, but we have to learn these things of God. which we would otherwise run away. Oh, don't talk to me about the sovereignty of God. No, I don't mind the love of God, but not the sovereignty of God, because that deals with real meaty issues, you see. But, you know, we have to. It's all part of growing up.
Yes.
You know? And often it's not actually as bad as it seems, because the enemy uses it, doesn't he, and tries to twist it all like he does. But you see, we know where we stand, don't we? Because we know by what comes out of our mouth. So our mouth is a good indicator. Our mouth is a good thermometer of telling us where we are in the faith, faithfulness to God, and so forth. You see? We know what comes out of our mouth. We know, for example, faithfulness, if we are faithful. For example, that boss at work is making my life a misery, and so on. Well, he might be. And again, it goes back to people. But maybe God is saying, I'm permitting that for a season, because I'm teaching you my sovereignty. I'm teaching you to be faithful. I'm going to show you there's a bigger picture in this, if you want to see it. And in that right time, he will show you it, you see. But at the time, it's hard. And it takes time, these things. We don't immediately adapt. You see, when we confess a good confession, it's not about auto-suggestion. I can only confess a good confession by going through some trials, some testings, of which it's worked, that good confession. In the early days, we were hearing the word of God, and we were taught about positive confession and all that, and rightly so. So we don't write it off, but we're all starting to confess it, you see. We'd heard it, and we started to confess. That's what you do. And of course, we were pretty heavy on one another if we would hear anything negative. Come on, brother, change that confession, you know. And sometimes that is needed. Sometimes we needed to be pulled up. Hang on, what are you saying? So there is a place. But we were all very keen to confess a good confession. And it took our trials, real trials, coming to the end of yourself, where you got to a point, I couldn't care less what comes out of my mouth now, you know. And we were hearing then the real thing. But God wanted us to hear the real thing in order to get delivered, to get changed from that. So there he turns that negative to the positive, you see. He's in control. And sometimes we have these things that come out of our mouth, and it's like you can't control it. It's like it's a volcano erupting. Or I don't know how much more I can take of my brother, my sister, or my wife, my husband, or member of the family. I've come to the end of it. Can't take any more. You know? Now, we've all come to that. We've all gone through that, and some of us are smiling away. You know? I don't want any more of them. Had enough. Going away. And of course, you've got nowhere to go anyway, because you're going to find the Lord's going to work in your circumstances where you come back, you see. So, again, he's teaching us about faithfulness. And he's teaching us that you can't love that person. You've tried and you've failed. Now I'm sovereign. I'm going to put that love in your heart to love that person. But we're going to do it this way now. Because fundamentally, it is God's love shed abroad in our hearts that can only embrace and love the unlovable. That's the sovereignty of God. But it isn't something you're going to get overnight. It is a walk. It is a working. And it all takes time, these things. But he will do it. He will do it. And there can be so many things that God is working with us. You know, I can't take any more of this pain. Well, I know pain is real. Pain is real. Some people are racked with pain. And they come to the end sometimes. They become desperate. They become immune to these painkillers. they become in the end like drugs. You can only give people a certain amount of morphine, you know. Becomes a drug otherwise. Powerful stuff. But sometimes it's needed if you've got third degree burns or whatever it is, because that's probably some of the most worst pain that can ever be experienced by human beings. But the point is that can you see God wracked in pain, suffering? You know, can you be faithful in that? Well, you will come to the end of yourself. And that's why he's allowed, permitted it to happen, because he's going to bring you and I to the end of ourselves, which of course we're learning. It's that letting go, getting out of the way, and then the sovereignty of God, who he is, what he is, will take over. You've learned something. And what you have learned is, in the depth of that trial, God's worked faithfulness in you and me. So you're going to stand in these last days. Oh, I tell you, he's in complete control in this. And thank God he is. That's why, you see, when things happen in our lives, when we see a brother or sister who's been blessed by their faith in the promises of God, we can rejoice for that brother or sister, because that has not been cheap. That has been a life walk with God. That has been testings, delays, all the things that go with faith. But we rejoice because that faith, what they have got, or what's been manifested according to the promises of God, there's gold attached to that. You see, something precious. That is why our faith is precious before Almighty God. And we hold on, of course, to the promises of God, and so on. You see, your actions prove your faithfulness. Because unless we face this, we won't be faithful. You see, our actions prove our faithfulness. And so sometimes our actions have proved I'm not that faithful as I thought, but I'm going to hold on because God somehow is going to work, because I just want to get out of this. I've had enough, or whatever it is. And we've all come to the end of it, but somehow we know deep in our hearts that God is looking for that faithfulness. You see? Let's just look at some scriptures to familiarize ourselves with what we're saying here. Revelation 21 verse 5. It's interesting. There's quite a lot about faithfulness in the book of Revelation, and rightly so, because of course the Revelation is the book that's closing the dispensation of this age, showing us what is to come in the future. You see, Revelation 21 and verse 5, of which it says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." God's word is true and faithful. When you read the book of Revelation and it speaks about your future, your life with God in eternity, God says, I am faithful, and I am working that faithfulness in this life, in this world. And that's basically what he's doing for us to inherit all of this that even mind and heart even can't even begin to comprehend. It is so great, so vast. How about Revelation 22 and verse 6, I think. Hang on. Wait a minute. Yes, in verse 6 of Revelation 22, "Then he said to me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." So the key word so often is about this faithfulness. God is faithful. And if he's faithful, you can rest in his faithfulness. And that's why we walk by faith. You see. Hebrews 10:23. We know this one very well, don't we? I'm just bringing these scriptures out that we know. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So he said, yeah, you're going through it, it's happening, but I am faithful, and stay with it because you will see my faithfulness. Now, if we walk away, we're never going to know God's faithfulness, are we? I mean, that's common sense. So we stay in, no matter how bad, how hard, or what it looks like, I'm staying with this because God will be faithful, and I will see that faithfulness, and I will be blessed by his faithfulness. Because that's what this is all about. God is so sovereign that you participate and are blessed by his faithfulness. And we know God is faithful because he revealed his faithfulness in his son Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. So we know it. Finally, looking at this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What a lovely verse that is, isn't it? That's been a source of comfort to me many, many, many times over the years. You know, he's called us, he's called you, he's called me, and not only that, he's faithful, and with that faithfulness, he's going to do it. Whatever you're facing, whatever trial, whatever need, whatever desire of your heart, he says he will do it. Now, you've got to keep the carnal mind out of that and just trust God and walk by faith. But the fact is, he says he will do it. Now, God may allow our circumstances to fall apart, which is to expose our unfaithfulness for not seeing what? His sovereignty. So, many times, he allows these circumstances. He allows sometimes our world to look as though it's fallen apart. But it's an exposure of unfaithfulness on our side in order to show his sovereignty to me. So I have to go through this, because if I don't, I'm going to be unfaithful. And it's going to come out somewhere in time, and the enemy knows it, and he's going to use it. So he's allowing me to go through this, firstly to expose, yes, there's areas of unfaithfulness, but as a result of that, he's going to work where I become faithful. And so when I've come out of that trial, he's worked a faithfulness in me that will stand and endure to the end. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. That's the love and mercy of God, you see. And it allows us to start to have a different aspect to our trials. It starts to enable us, although this is hurting, that I keep using this word, but it's a modern terminology of understanding. We understand from God's point of view, there's a much bigger picture in this. And there always is. Because you're dealing with the vastness and the greatness of God. I can only just see my trials and I'm hurting and I don't like it and whatever. But God sees it on a completely different sphere. And so he's removing those hindrances, because that's really what it is to our faith, so that we're beginning to see from his perspective. That's why he's getting us to be like those eagles that fly high in the sky. I noticed when I was coming down to Andover today and motoring on the M3 and so forth, there was wonderful birds of prey high up there. I shouldn't really be looking, but I just looked up there. And there were some buzzards and whatever. And just soaring along there, you know, there. And there are a few other birds that are nearby. And they're really trying to get out of the way, you see. Because they'll go for them even in the air, you see. But They're high up there. No effort, just gliding. And that's spiritually what he's doing with us. He's getting us to go higher and higher and higher. And what happens when you fly high? You discern. You can see. And you can see what? The enemy. What he's up to. So our deliverance is causing us to soar with eagle's wings and to fly high with God in these last days. And that's why we're faithful. The faithful will fly high with God in the last days. They will. These are the promises of God. That's why God may allow our circumstances to fall apart. But it's to expose this unfaithfulness, because we're not always seeing God's word. We're not always seeing his sovereignty. You see, we don't want to see what he's accomplishing. And that's a lot of our problems. We like God, but we don't want to always see what he's actually accomplishing. But sometimes God wants to open your eyes and let you know what he's doing with you and me. And in time, it shuts you up. You think, my word, am I really worth that much? Does God really love me to that extent that he's opening my eyes to see what he's doing with me, what he's accomplishing with me? That's what causes us to fall in love with God. I'll tell you, it does. Not all this emotional amby-pamby stuff, oh, I love Jesus and whatever. No, this is what really causes you to love the Lord. And he knows how to do it, you see. And you see, if we learn to worship him, even in those difficult circumstances, he will change our situation sometimes very quickly. You see, our worship in these circumstances is an indicator. It's a thermometer. It tells us what our temperature is, you see. And even in our circumstances, when it's hurting, can we still worship the Lord? Can we still come? Can we still lift holy hands in his presence? That's the question, you see. And it tells me. You see, I know I've brought this up before, but as a minister and a pastor, one of the things you learn very quickly, and I had to learn, you can partly tell, it's not everything, but partly tell where a Christian, a saint is, or what's going on with that person in worship. If they're bound up, that is an indication something's not right. Now, I'm not saying we've had an off day and I just found it difficult to worship today in the meeting. I'm talking about something that goes on. That's a process over a period of months or even years, where you just see that that saint or that person can't really worship God. There's sadness there. There's an oppression there. There's depression there. There's just no life, not much life coming through in their worship and praise. That's an indicator something's wrong. Because it's within us. If the new birth is in us, the Holy Spirit's in us, something within us, those rivers of living water well up, something wants to express, wants to speak, wants to come out. That's the new birth. That's a life in Christ. You see? So that's a good indicator. It tells us something. And it certainly tells us to start to get in prayer and intercession for that person. Maybe they're not being touched, or they're shutting their heart off to God, or it can be a number of things. And of course, at times as a pastor, I've had to counsel. I've had to help brothers or sisters. Sometimes deliverance has been needed. Demons stop us from worshipping. They hate worship. They hate the blood of Jesus. We know that because even the demons cried out when Jesus was on the scene. And we've had them cry out at people over the years. So, you know, worship is the key. And even in these difficult circumstances, there's still something that will worship God, that will acknowledge God. Because deep down we know, yes, this is hurting, but this is working together for good. And therefore, I've got that assurance, you see. And that's the key in these trials. You see, we have faithfulness so wrong at times. You see, we've got a wrong misconception at times of being faithful. The world out there is completely confused as to the understanding of what true faithfulness is. This is why we've got breakdown in family lives, in marriages, with children and kids going off, and you name it. Well, you hear about it, but we've got this wrong view, and I'll tell you how this wrong view, in my opinion, works. You see, we're faithful, say, with our job. Oh boy, we rise up to the occasion, and we're there, and we work, and we do everything they say, and everything. Yes, I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't be, but that can still hinder our understanding from a spiritual point of view of what faithfulness to God is about. So in other words, you've got it wrong. You're not understanding that faithfulness starts first with God. My walk, my consecration with God. Because if I'm faithful with God and letting him work that faithfulness in me, that's going to spill out into my everyday living and life and walk. It will do. Because if God's love's in you, somehow it's going to spill out to embrace the unlovable, which in the natural we can't do. It's just inevitable. That's how great God is. Or this idea of not understanding faithfulness, it can be the same to our children. We can be extremely faithful to our children and parents. Yes, there is a faithfulness to children, don't get me wrong, but it can be an imbalanced one that's not coming first from the faithfulness that I have with God. Or how about my hobby? You know, I don't stop people from having a hobby. I have a hobby. There's nothing wrong with a hobby. But it's how far you take that hobby. And some people, I mean, I know some people, I've seen it there, and I've seen, because you know I teach art, but I've seen some men or some women in their family or in their marriage have gone completely overboard with this hobby. And I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to succeed in everything. And the marriage starts to suffer. And this is just a hobby at the end of the day. But it goes on. It goes on. Can be to sport, anything, you see. We can be faithful to our friends, to our next door neighbour, but we can neglect the family. It's still an imbalance. And we know this. All this thought goes on. You've probably seen it in your next door neighbour or whatever it is. Well, you know, they love their friends and they're all out there. But look at the family, look at the children. They're suffering. You see? Complete misconception. Or these things come out, but we're being faithful to God. As a Christian, don't ask me that one. No, I'll be faithful to the world, I'll be faithful to things I like, but don't ask me about being faithful to God, you see. Now, of course, Christians won't say that outwardly, but that's what's rumbling away in the heart, you see. And they have failed to understand the sovereignty of God. Because to learn the sovereignty of God is to be faithful to God. And everything is going to stem from that faithfulness. That's the whole point, you see. In other words, it means that we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've written something here, and I've said this. Our Lord is dethroned by professing Christians than by the world. We see him as a computer designed only for just blessings. And that's often the problem. We'll be faithful to God if he bless me, you see. So he's like some machine just pull the handle down and out come the jackpot, you see. And, you know, have you ever seen one of those jackpots? I was there once there and somebody got the jackpot pop prize. And you never heard a noise like it coming out of the machine. So, chung, chung, chung. And all these coins are coming out. And they couldn't, in the end, they had to get a bag. Because these coins had all gone over the floor and everything. And people are cheering away and everything. And they got a great wad of these coins, you see. So, and but we have that idea of God. Oh, God will bless because he's faithful. He is faithful, but he wants you to unknow that. That's the whole point. You see, because you're not learning the sovereignty of God. And this is where the name it and claim it lot is all gone wrong. And this is why they're all gone back and they're all angry and or don't walk with the Lord. It didn't work, you know. I claimed this and it didn't happen. It didn't manifest and so forth, because they weren't learning the faithfulness, the sovereignty of God. You know, there's no shortcuts to any of this. And sadly, human nature will try and do that, you see. That's why he places responsibility on us and expects no complaining. And he often offers no explanation on his part as to why you're going through what you're going through. Now, he may eventually, but he didn't say anything to Job, not until right at the end. Job was going through that time, and I think very, very few Christians will ever go through what Job went through. But God wasn't speaking, wasn't giving any explanation. He wasn't saying, you know, why he permitted and allowed the enemy to buffet him like he did. And so often he does the same with us, because he is sovereign. And we get unhappy, and human nature wants to know why, you see. And I'm not saying you can't ask God why, but if God chooses not to speak, don't have the socks. There's obviously a reason for that. And maybe, because I once asked God why, and he didn't tell me and everything, and then I thought to myself, well, maybe praise God he didn't tell me, because I probably couldn't handle it. See, there's always a reason. There's always a reason. But he sometimes will offer no explanation on his part. He wishes to use you and I as he used his son Jesus, who walked each day by faith, trusting in his Father. And that's why I come back to what I'm emphasizing. Walk each day, and what is entailed in that day, by faith. Leave tomorrow, next week, next year, to the faithfulness of God. Amen. So faithfulness belongs. Faithfulness believes God's sovereignty. That's what we've been talking about this morning. If you know God is faithful, and you desire to be faithful, then he's going to teach you his sovereignty in order to be just that. And we need to know that sovereignty, don't we? It's not always easy. It is meek sometimes, God's sovereignty. But there's a reason for it. Because he's going to get you into the kingdom of God. He's going to work with you to be faithful. He's going to make you a pillar in his temple. And we know that those pillars are essential, yeah, in the temple of God, because they are the supports. They hold the structure. They hold the roof. And that is what he's working in your life, in your character, so that you can take the strength, the burden, at times when it comes. And those burdens you will find are not necessarily your burdens, but burdens for somebody else. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. You know how to speak life into our heart and spirit. And Lord, we just heard your love being given to us again today. We've heard how you preserve and keep us and hold us. How that you are absolutely, utterly in control. You are sovereign. And that whatever we go through, whatever our trials, whatever we're feeling, even today, now, this moment, Father, there is a plan. There's a bigger picture. There is something you are teaching us, Lord. Help us to hear, Father. Cause each one of us to be faithful to the end. We know that the days are getting worse. There's wickedness around us. There are so many, many things that the enemy is trying to deceive us, trick us, or try to draw us away from the faith. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you who hath begun that work in us will complete and finish it. And Father, whatever our temptations, whatever our trials we go through, you know just how far to let them go. May everything that we do and say and be will always be motivated by the sovereign love and mercy of Almighty God. Because if it isn't that true love, it will never stand. It will never bring fruit in the last days. And so we thank you today for this meeting. Thank you for bringing brothers and sisters into the room. Bless, preserve, and keep each one of them under the blood of Jesus till we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.